A reading from Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise. Because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the human being, heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. All flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swam the path of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are here this day because, like Thomas, when he saw your hands and your side, he said that you were not only his master, but also his Lord. And Lord, today we come before you because we know that you are not only our Lord, but also our ruler, that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we see, as the psalmist says in Psalm 8, O Lord, how majestic is your name over all the earth, in all the earth. And Lord, this is our prayer as we gather together at the end of this church year, that we would leave this year recognizing what you have done, acknowledging your glory and power, celebrating your presence in the midst of your people, and acknowledging that you have left us here in order that we may go forward, knowing that you have a plan and purpose for each one of us and for your church. Lord, bless us now as we ponder what St. Paul was inspired by your Holy Spirit to write in 1 Corinthians 15. As we celebrate that you reign over all the earth, and how majestic is your name. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. New Year's Eve. It's interesting because a lot has been made about New Year's Eve. There's always great celebrations. As a matter of fact, when I was at St. Luke one year, I got a text from one of our leadership, and they said, we decided we're going to go to New York. And this was like on the morning of the 31st. They decided they were going to drive to New York to celebrate New Year's Eve. A person like myself that doesn't like crowds, that sounds like, well, anyways. I could not understand it. I guess it's kind of like being at the Big House when they win 45-17. It's a celebration. It's like there's something about letting go of the past and moving forward that is truly a chance for new beginnings. And it's interesting because St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 a lot about what it means to be resurrected, what it means to have the hope of eternal life. As a matter of fact, the reason I chose this text, and Jim and I were discussing this before, I usually use the gospel lesson for today because I find that gospel lesson, even though it is disturbing in some ways because, you know, you hear about eternal judgment, but it is encouraging for us because the question that I love in the gospel lesson is they're always asking when. You notice that? When did we see you hungry and thirsty? When did we see you in prison? When do we see you naked? When? You notice that that's the question the righteous are asking? And they're asking it sincerely, right? Different than if I would have read this with a little bit more life this morning. You would have heard the almost the sarcastic way that the unrighteous, or those who are being expelled, those who are on the left side, are saying, when? Really, that's what they're saying is, when? They're lawyers, you know? Tell me exactly when. Now. You see, on the other side, the righteous are going, when? And the reason I know that is because look at the response. Look at the response of Jesus. It's clear in the response that he recognizes that their hearts, that it's so much a part of their lives, that their faith is so much a part of their lives that it's just a normal thing. That's why they're saying when. They're not trying to justify themselves by saying when, give me a date, time, so that I can make an excuse. Well, I wasn't there because this, this, and this. No, they're not looking at it as when in order to make an excuse. No, they're looking at it and saying, well, when? Because this is just part of who we are. Right? This is what we do. And so their response to when is fantastic because, again, when you come to the end of the church year, you're going, okay, it crept up quickly. Have you noticed? It kind of goes quick. And I'm sitting here at the end of the year and I'm looking back over this last church year and realizing, you know, the first year I started here, the end of the church year came quickly because I was installed in September and we had the end of the church year in November and it was like, wow, there's not a lot to talk about. We've gone through a lot to get here, reconstituting a church, setting up all the stuff involved, like a poor guy like John had to set up all the bookkeeping and Joanne had to adapt to all these new things. And I mean, we were going through a lot of stuff. And then I got sick. So the second year was all about survival and celebrating healing. And so we're getting to the third year and I'm looking at all the things that God has done. And just reading this passage in 1 Corinthians 15 and recognizing that we hear 1 Corinthians 15 so many times for funerals and different things. And it's always the other parts of. Now, I don't know if you know this, but 1 Corinthians 15 is a long chapter. Seriously. It's a long chapter. I mean, this was one of his, you know, again, Paul did not put 1 Corinthians 15. He wrote a letter. For whatever reason, the people that chose to put the textual things in there, why they chose to make it so long is because it talks about one theme over and over and over again. That's the theme of resurrection. That's the theme of everlasting life. But there's this little section right in the middle, 20 to 28 that we read today, that I chose to talk about because it talks about Jesus putting everything under his feet. And that's why I read Psalm 8, because you might wonder, what does putting everything under his feet mean? Didn't he win the victory when he rose again from the dead? Didn't he cause Satan to lose the battle when he died on the cross of Calvary and said it is finished? Yes. But is it not that he is reigning in our lives and that his continual job of, not job because that sounds legalistic, but it's a continual journey for us as his people to do the things that he's talking about in Matthew 25. It's what we do. Because as he is Lord of our lives, as he is king on the throne of our hearts, things that we do come from our relationship with Jesus. We don't do things in order to earn that relationship, but because of that relationship, we live a certain way. And so as I'm looking back over this last year, I was just amazed at how Christ has reigned in my life and in the life of Cross and Resurrection. I'll give you some examples. When we reconstituted this church and asked Roger and John and Dave, and there's a long list here, so I'm not going to go over everybody. And we asked them to step up, Don and Bruce and other people, and step up and restart after a long history. I was just thankful to be able to gather together and to celebrate that we were, I was just happy to stay where we were. I was just thankful. I thought, this is awesome. This is like an oasis for me. This is beautiful. I love it here. And I was just happy. And that lasted for approximately a month. Because it's in my DNA, and the Lord has designed me this way, that I couldn't help looking over to Eastern and looking around in Ypsilanti and Ann Arbor and seeing and the people just coming into my life on a regular basis who need to know that they don't want to be the people on the left-hand side on Judgment Day. And I don't know about you, but it bothers me. When I see people, it bothers me. We were at an event last night, Brian Perkins, Joe Waliga, and myself, and I was just led to pray for people because it bothers me. It bothers me when I hear people and they have a misunderstanding, and I just what thing I like about Eastern is education first. And I want to help people be educated to the reality that Jesus died for them, he loves them, and he desperately wants them to be those people who belong to him. He does. And it is at the heart of who. So for the last 3 years, not even 3 years, we're in the third year now, we have seen the Lord bless what we're doing here as we strive to find out, what do you want of us, O Lord? What is your desire? And the answer to when is now. You see, that's the problem with when. The answer to when, I believe, when it comes to reaching out, is now, at least in my life. And so what have we seen over the last year? What are some ways that God has blessed us and helped us to move in the direction that he is leading us? We want to be led by him. We don't want to say, okay, this is our plan, this is our purpose, we want to do this, now God come and bless us. No, we want to go where God is blessing. We want to do what God calls us to do. And what has he called us to do? What are some of the things that you have seen different over the last year? Nothing? Pardon me? Yeah. Fellowship hall. The windows going in there today made it very neat. Or didn't go in today, but seeing them today made it extremely, it's like it's almost here. What are some other things? Upwards basketball camp in the summertime. The season, reaching out to over 600 young people, many who are not Christians, okay? Yes. The relationship with EMU. I prayed, I don't know if you know this, but I prayed for a staff person on EMU for a long time. And Carol is now a staff person at EMU. Isn't that the way the Lord answers prayer? Isn't that awesome? Yes, you could say amen. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's right. We have been ordered a new sign, color, so we can let people know what's going on. I'm not doing this to brag. I'm not doing this because we're proud. I'm not doing this because it's, oh, look at us. No, this is about God doing amazing things. And sometimes when you're in the middle of it and it's happening, what happens to us is we kind of are like the frog in the... I was talking to my son, I want you to know, I'm thankful to be here because I phoned my son yesterday. It was minus 20, and they had 2 feet of snow. And that's Celsius, by the way, so it's a little bit better than what you're thinking. But still, I mean, I'm thankful to be here. Still cold. But... I was saying to him, you know, it's like the frog in the kettle. We adjust to things and we take things for granted. I was talking to him about, we were just kind of reminiscing about things. And I was saying to him, you know, you take things for granted when you're in the middle of it, don't you? That's why New Year's Eve or different times in the year, it's important to look back and to celebrate those things that God has done. That's why we're here. That's why we're on Christ the King Sunday, because we recognize that Jesus is reigning, that he is king, that he has won the battle, and that he continues to reign in his church. He does. And he is putting everything under his feet. We sang that song, "At the Name of Jesus," comes from Philippians chapter 2. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I thought about the confession of St. Thomas when he saw Jesus with his hands and his feet. And he said to him, what? Remember? My Lord and my God. What an amazing confession. And so our confession is, Lord, we know that you are in the business of forgiving sins We also know that you are King and Lord, and you want to reign in the midst of your people. And the Holy Spirit is a shy member of the Trinity, folks. And so he's not going to force us to do anything. But he wants to move in kingdom power. He wants to move and see people healed like I was. He wants to move and see people released from the garbage that is around us. He wants people to be delivered from the power of Satan in their lives, which comes into their life not only because we're simply human beings, but because of all the stuff that goes on around us. Amen? Jesus is reigning. And that's why we celebrate at the end of this year that we can see the blessings that God has given to us. If you would have told me 2 years ago that we would have 3 full-time people here and 1 part-time person, that being myself, Paul, and Johannes, and Joanne, and so many volunteer staff like Brian and Jim and Marsha and so many other people, and all the volunteers and all of the leadership, I mean, we are truly blessed. Look at the worship team. We got a new worship team today. Isn't that awesome? I didn't know that was happening. I was like, oh, cool. I mean, the Lord is at work. He is moving. He is in the business of putting everything under his feet. And I guess what I would hope is that New Year's Eve would not be the type of New Year's Eve that so many people have where they make these resolutions. You know, you ever noticed they make resolutions they don't keep? Maybe some of you are better than that, but, you know, most people make resolutions they don't keep. Like, I put on 30 pounds to take them off. Well, praise the Lord if you're able to do that. But the reality is most people don't keep them. I'm going to exercise every day. Ask anybody who owns a gym. It lasts until February, if that. The problem is that many people want to put behind what they've done and start fresh. What we're saying is, no, we want to continue to build on what God is doing. That we celebrate what God has done and what he is doing and what he will do. That we know with great expectation that God wants to move in kingdom power. Ron Gormley warmed my heart when he was here, and he was the elder on duty, and he shared how he was having a renewal in his life with the idea that we are in the kingdom and that God wants to move in kingdom power. And we're going to have opportunity here soon to have a study on what does that mean? What does it mean to live in kingdom power? And I believe, brothers and sisters, and this is not what people who are listening to this on the tape, this is not about the theology of glory. That'll save me a whole bunch of emails. This is about the theology of the cross. This is not what we do, it's what God does. I love this passage because so many guys stay away from it because it sounds funny. And that does not mean that God is under the Jesus when he puts everything under his feet. That does not mean God is under his feet like, duh. You know, it's not. Then Paul has to do this kind of amazing little thing here where he says, it doesn't mean that God's going to be underneath his feet. No, he's not putting everything under his feet in the sense that God is underneath there. No, he's doing everything so he can give it to God and so that God can be all in all. That's an amazing passage, right? That God can be all in all. It's like in Psalm 8. Brothers and sisters, it's my prayer for us as we celebrate this Christ the King Sunday that we would celebrate. Is this not a reason to celebrate? Is this not a reason to look back and say, look at what the Lord, our God, our King, has done. Look at what he's done. I can give you example of healing after healing after healing. I can give you an example of lives changed after lives changed after lives changed. This is what he's done. Praise be to our God and Father. Because this is what he's done. And I got good news for you. He's not finished. That's the point of what St. Paul is saying, is he's not finished yet. He's not finished yet. He's kept us here to the year 2012 of the church. He's not finished. It's not the end yet. He's at work in the midst of his people right now. And what is he doing in your life? That's why we have the sharing time at the end of each service. Because what is he doing in your life? Do you see him at work? Is he reigning? Is he king over your heart and mind? Is he doing amazing things in your life? Come on. I'm trying to work really hard up here. I mean, it's amazing. He's done so many things, but he's not finished yet. He's doing so many things, but he's not finished yet. Because he's going to do so many amazing things because he's not finished yet. Whew. I thought we'd never get there. He's done so many things. And we celebrate each and every one because he reigns, because our Lord is Lord of all, because he is the King of kings and Lord of all, because every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. He has done so many amazing things, dying on the cross, rising again, sending his Holy Spirit. He has done all these things in the lives of his people, but he's not finished yet. He is doing amazing things right now, right this moment, right this second, in the hearts of people at Eastern, at U of M, in Ypsilanti, Ann Arbor, Washtenaw County, Lenawee County, all over. Because he's not finished yet. And he has great things in store for us, his people, those who belong. It says that he is the first fruit, meaning he's the one that led the way in rising from the dead. But he says, when he comes back, that he is going to bring to himself those who belong to him, because he has great plans in store for us. So he is going to do amazing things for us, his people, who belong to him, because he is not. He's not finished yet. He's not finished yet. Isn't that awesome? He's not finished yet. And he's given us the privilege, you and me, to be here, to be used by him, to use our gifts for his glory, so that he can continue to move forward and to bring everything under his feet, so that he will be King of kings and Lord of lords. May our confession be St. Thomas' confession. Jesus is our Lord and our God. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.